Good morning, guys. Happy May. To me, it's May is a very special month. I normally would be out fishing, but it's a little bit nippy for that this morning. I got out, there was frost on my lawn, and wow. I just want you to know that every so often God is really shows up, and I've been in a fast. And I just condensed an all church-wide fast, and I just said, "Wow, I really wanted to participate in this, and I am absolutely amazed at what God has just done." Before I get into this, you never know what God's going to do after a fast. And I was in very big danger with my lawnmower, and it's a riding lawnmower, and it was about to throw the blade. Yeah. And I was amazed. And there, I had, it has 8 bolts to it. And seven of them were gone. And I didn't know that. And it was just all kinds of racket. And when one of my friends from Northbrook came over begging somebody to help me, and he said, "Well, I'll come over and help you." And he said, "Let's turn the thing over. And here's seven bolts gone and only one bolt left holding that thing in there." And I'm going, and I said, "Russ, I didn't see that. I missed that entirely. We went to the hardware store and bought seven bolts." And he said, "By the way, I got a grinder. Why don't you let me go home and get the grinder and we can sharpen up your blade? You happen to have a grinder for me?" He says, "Yeah, I'll take care of your blade for you." I said, "In the same day?" He said, "Yeah, I'll take care of it." Does that sound like the Lord? And he did a beautiful job. See how neat the Lord is? I hadn't sharpened it since the day I bought the thing. So I'm just telling you, God is so faithful to take care of your need. And I had just finished the fast. And the Lord blessed me the very next day. See, God shows up when you least expect it. And I just want you to know that God is so faithful. But I was in very big danger. I don't know what had happened to that blade had I not taken care of it that day. And we got a whole summer of mowing coming up, don't we? Wow. So I just want to praise the Lord this morning for being faithful, taking care of me in my hour of need. And I did not even know the condition that that mower was in. See, God, you guys got to trust the Lord. You just got to. All right. So now I'm into this chapter 8. I got chapter 8 through 10, and we're going to talk about the victories that David has. So this is amazing. And there was all kinds of victories. And this Hebedezer is it was one of the kings. His name appears to be in count and Hadad Dezer. So this is Hadad is the Syrian storm god for Baal. Hadad meaning help. Though defeated by David, he assisted the Ammonites in their opposition to David. And then there was also Zobah. Already during Saul's reign, there had been a conflict between Israel and the kings of Zobah. And but there's what he had done is that David had hamstrung all of the chariot horses all the way through. There's sort of 20,000 foot soldiers. They're here in starting from verse 3. David also defeated that, and he had David took from him 1,700 horsemen and 20,000 foot soldiers, and David hamstrung all of the chariots in what he had done, and he hamstrung all the chariot horses, but left enough for 100 chariots. And when the Syrians in Damascus came over to help Hadadezer king of, he struck down 20,000 men of the Syrians, and then David put garrisons. Now, all of the chapter, he's talking about depositing garrisons, just leaving that garrisons at each place that he went, which is really amazing for David had done that. I think I lost something happened here. So that David had defeated the whole army of am I fine? Okay. So then, and to bless him because he had fought against Hadadezer and defeated him, for Hadadezer had often been at war with Tyre and Joram, the king had dedicated to the Lord, together with silver and gold that he had dedicated for all the nations. Okay, so David had made a name for himself when he returned from striking down 18,000 Edomites in the Valley of Salt. And then he put all, he keeps talking about the garrisons. So here's my whole point. David had administered justice and equity. So he had done what was called a prototypical theocratic king. What in the world does that mean? A prototypical theocratic king. He not only subjugated Israel's enemies, but he also knew that his calling was to be just. His descendants did not always follow his example, despite prophetic exhortation. Ultimately, they saw the ruin of Jerusalem, as foretold. But even before the fall of Jerusalem, there arose a hope for a righteous branch from the line of David. And so, it goes through, but he talks about all these places. See, the one thing about David is no matter where he went, he was always victorious. God was with him. He's kind of like Samson. Samson, and that's in the next chapters that I can't, that I'm not supposed to go to. But the thing about God was with him, God was with him, God was with him. So the thing is that what we have to do is we see is whenever God comes down on the situation, you're always in the victories, right? When God is with you, he's in the victories. So that's the important thing. So then we get through all of that, then we get into chapter 9. Well, then we're going to talk about David said, "Is there still someone left in the house of Saul that I may show him kindness of Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant in the house of Saul whose name was Ziba, and they called him to David. And the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" And he said, "I am your servant." And the king said, "Is there not still someone in the house of Saul that I might show him the kindness of God to him?" Has anybody studied this chapter? Chapter 9. A very famous guy in here, Mephibosheth. Yeah. I'll tell you, Mephibosheth. Now I'm going to ask a very serious question to you guys. How many of you guys have ever had a Mephibosheth in your life? Now Mephibosheth was a crippled guy. So I'm going to read the story here, and then I'm going to tell you about my Mephibosheth. Because I had one dumped in my life too. Boy, did I get one at a very, very, very serious time in Lowell's life. Boy. Worst year of my life, 1982. Woo! But I'm going to read this to you. So here's the story. There is still a Jonathan Heath, and here's Mephibosheth, crippled in his feet. And the king said to him, "Now watch the love of Jesus coming forth in this story." And Ziba said to the king, "He is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, at Lodibar." Then King David sent and brought him from the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, at Lodibar, and Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, whom he loved. Yeah, we all know about that. The son of Saul came to David and fell at his face and paid homage. And David said, "Mephibosheth." And he answered, "Behold, I am your servant." And David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan, and I will restore to you all the land of Saul, your father, and you shall eat at my table always." And he paid homage and said, "What is your servant that you should regard for a dead dog such as I?" Talk about an identity crisis. This is one of the places in the scriptures that has humor to it. Then the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, "All that belonged to Saul and to all his house I have given to your master's grandson, and you and your sons and your servants shall till the land for him and shall bring in the produce that your master's grandson may have bread to eat." But Mephibosheth Your master's grandson shall always eat at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, "According to all that my lord, the king, commands his servants, so will your servant do." So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all who lived at Ziba's house became Mephibosheth's servants. So Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem, and he ate at the king's table, and he's lame at both of his feet. So I asked that question. I was totally, totally, totally broken when Lori walked out in April 1982, took Jonathan with her, our little 1.5-year-old son. I was crying for weeks on end. The Lord saw my brokenness. Francis said, "Come out over to my house. I got somebody I want to introduce you to." This guy's laying on a couch. I said, "What's your name?" "Joseph." And I said, "What's wrong with you?" He says, "I'm a Sarah paraplegic." And his wheelchair was hiding behind the couch. He said, "I got nowhere to go, man. Can I come over and stay with you for a little while?" And I said, "Well, yeah." I said, "I'm so broken, man, I could use some company." And he was broken too. So he came over to my house and I said, "Well," I said, "you can stay a little while." He stayed 9 months. Long as he could possibly stay. And I kept picking him up, putting him in the bathtub, threw my back out 3 times. I mean, really, really got hurt by the guy. But he hugged. And I wasn't getting no hugs. I would set Jonathan on his lap, and we'd go places. And I took him out to eat. Little Jonathan just ate him up. And I had somebody to talk to and weep with. The Lord took my mind off of my pain. I had somebody I could talk to in my immense pain at the loss of, I was a victim. There's a few guys in this room who know the pain of the loss of a spouse through cheating. And I don't have to go into the details of that. There's only one other guy that's not here that went through what I went through. 1982, absolute destruction. It's horrible. But nonetheless, Joseph was there. He was my message. I had to have ramps made because I had a sunken living room. But Joseph was there to talk to. He was my Mephibosheth because he was crippled. So I had my own Mephibosheth. And that's what it was for me. I guess I was the king, so to speak. Finally found a girlfriend after Lori had divorced me. So I know what it was to me to be like that. And I can tell you guys, if he hadn't have been there to get my mind off of that immense pain that I was going through day in and day out and day in and day out, just trying to be get my mind off of my immense pain, I was grateful for Joseph. I was grateful he was there to talk to. I was hoping she'd finally come home. Never, the Lord never answered that prayer the way I wanted it answered. It just didn't. She made up her mind and it was over with. Man, that's hard, guys. When you have to listen, when you have to accept no. She never did remarry. That's 40 years ago. Yikes. So the important thing is that God's grace got me through. And 14 years later, I married Lori. Married Wanda. Look at that. It's still on my mind. And I married Wanda, and now she died. Only one other man who knows how I feel, and I'm looking straight at him. Death is a horrible thing, but I'm okay. I mean, it's 6.5 years later, and I'm all right. God is my spouse. But the thing about this whole thing is that the Word of God is my spouse, and I'm telling you, it's enough for me. It's enough for me. All I can tell you is that I love you guys, and I come here to be with you. Been coming here for what, 20 years now? Yeah, that long. And you guys accept me? You guys on the, you're all the way up there in New York. Tommy Lawton, you still love me, don't you? You betcha. All of you guys, some of you guys I haven't even met yet. Dennis Dern and I went out to lunch one day. Yeah, he remembers that. All the way over there. Yep. And Chris, you showed up at my house when Wanda died, didn't you? And you comforted me. Yep, you did. I don't forget stuff like that. Broken hearts need mending. You guys got to be there for me. But anyway, here in the 10th chapter, we go all the way through this thing. But in the 10th, David defeats. He talks here about all of these battles that that he went through here. The Syrians, the Ammonites, and all the things that he went through here. All the way through here, he keeps saying, "Be of good care, be of good courage. May the Lord do what seems good to him." All the way through here, David finds himself in a difficult military position of having to fight on two fronts. Joab hated deserters, and the Syrians were afraid to say, and I'm telling you, the king goes out to battle. All of these battles that he gets through here. Is that David has always, all the way through the different battles that he's all the way through. I can't tell you how many times that I see here that he's always fighting against the Ammonites, the Hittites, the Edomites, and the things that. But David is always, there's nothing else to talk about here except for the very fact that he was completely victorious in all that he did. And I mean, I am so filled with joy. Knowing that the victory, when the Lord is with you, there's nothing to fear. Walk in peace, guys. My whole message to all of you is this: don't worry. Trust God for what it is that you're going through in your life. You know, there are guys, here, if you're going through a trial, it's the only a time for God is calling you to trust Him. Because you're developing character. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how difficult the trial is. God is telling you to trust Him. Why? Because He's developing character. Every trial has a victory at the end of it. It's just a season. All trials are nothing more than a season that you're going through, right? It's just a season, and you're going to come to the end of it. And when you come to the end of it, there's a victory waiting at the end of it. It's just a season. Once you finally get to the end of, boy, have I learned this about life, you get to the end of it. Everything has a beginning and an ending. And I'm so glad to know that when I come to the end of these trials, that God is, he says, there's a beginning and an ending to everything. Ecclesiastes, it says, there's a beginning to a thing, but it always comes to an ending. Once you get to the ending of a thing. So I'm going to go through surgery here next week. Whew. And I just know, boy, he told me, you got to see the letter I got. Oh, so it's going to start at 9:30. It's going to end at 1:30. And they said, don't you drive for 2 weeks. Come visit me. take me out to eat or bring me food or just come visit me because I won't be able to go anywhere, according to what they said in the letter. But that's okay. I mean, the low hand will no longer shake. So, after having said all that, there isn't much else to tell you about these two chapters, except that God is faithful and that He wants to take care of you. He's got victories waiting for you. And if God ever puts somebody in your life, if there happens to be a Mephibosheth to come and live with you for a while, just know that you are an anointed person at that given time in life when He's got somebody very special for you, waiting for you. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for these wonderful men and for what you have called them to do for you. At any given time, and every somewhere in the future, there's a divine appointment waiting for each and every one of them for something you have reserved for them. It's a very special moment for each and every one of them that you've got designed and waiting for them. And I thank you, Lord, that you've endued them with love and the power to accomplish that for which is set aside for them. And so, Lord, make them ready and waiting for them. In Jesus' name, I pray. Bless each and every one of them now as they go through this month, and have them be strong and mighty in your word, and help fill them up with your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.